Hey, turn with me in your Bible, if you would, to Luke chapter 2. I'm catching my breath. Hallelujah. Father, help me now. Holy Spirit, stir my spirit with the good news. Let my heart spill over the abundance of the beauty of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, Him resurrected. Father, thank you for the love of the Lamb of God. Thank you for believing hearts this morning. Give us believing moments throughout these next few moments together. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. You know, all you have to do in life with the Lord is have a focus and understand the beauty of what He's done and just like it. And let the beauty of it transform you and then share it. You know, heaven wanted to make an announcement that was going to change the worldview of mankind. See, the reason most people today, even in our culture, don't like Christendom or don't know how to relate to people who are Christians, because their worldview of God is misconstrued. And they have a misunderstanding of what it really means to be in the Father's family. So a lot of people think they have to qualify for the position. A lot of people think they need a good resume. A lot of people think they need to be very moral and very righteous in their flesh in order to be accepted. And so they draw back because they think God is really an angry God, and that He's looking out to find a way in the small print to really get you. You know, it's kind of like the contracts people have. I had in the ministry earlier this week, I found out that we had a contract with a copier company that expired like 2 months ago. And then they were in the small print, they jacked up the price dramatically. And now we owe them like $1,000 from the last 2 months. And it's small print stuff. A lot of people think God's that way. God's a small print person that wants to just kind of get you, just twist you, just mess with you. And so people don't like it and they draw back. So the Father decided to change the system, because God, the scripture says, found fault with a covenant that was based on man's obedience. And He wanted to put in a covenant that was based on the obedience of one. God wanted to put in a new covenant based on better promises, a new operating system of how the human race would relate to the Heavenly Father. And so God was going to send His only begotten Son, Jesus, the Lamb of God, who was going to change the entire equation for everyone everywhere. So what God wanted to do was to announce the news. And so God wanted to have a big heavenly post. You know, if you're going to announce news today, what do? You post it. You know, today everybody can be their own ad agency. Today, everybody can be their own publicist. What do you have? You have Twitter, you have Facebook, you have Instagram, you have all these social media mechanisms. And what do when you want to say something that you want people to hear about? You post it. You don't post things for people to ignore them. You post things for people to see them. And what you really like when you post something is you like when people like what you post. Isn't that true? If you post a picture of what you eat for lunch today, if you post a picture of the specialty coffee you get after church from your coffee bar, you post it where you want people to see it, you want people to know where you're at, and you want people to celebrate or like what you're up to. My wife, Heidi, she posts things on her Facebook page sometimes. Some time ago, I came home and she said, Keith, did you see what I posted today? I said, no. She said, I posted a picture of the grandkids. I said, oh, that's cool. She said, I already got 157 likes on that picture. I said, what? She said, yeah, 157 people liked what I posted already today. I said, that's amazing. I said, why don't you post a picture of me and see what it does for you? She says, I've already tried. It doesn't do nothing. You don't get no attention. People don't like it. But when I post the grandkids, people like it and people share it. See, God, in the same way, wanted to get the news out of a new operating system. But notice, God, to get his message out, didn't go to politicians. God did not go to the billionaire class. God didn't go to all the scholars and all the know-it-alls. All the people who think they're so absolutely smart. You know who God went to? He went to uneducated shepherds in a field. He went to people who weren't always that moral. They weren't living perfectly moral lives. They were people who didn't know all the Bible verses. They were just commoners. People like Keith Hershey, just a farm boy, who could be surprised with awe and wonder about a Savior. So you know what God did? God, to post what he wanted to do to change your worldview of him and let you find yourself not in yourself but in himself, God posted the angels in the heavens. And look what it says in Luke 2, verse 12. Luke 2, verse 12. Here's what the Bible says. And this will be the sign. Everybody say sign. This will be the sign to you. To you. To you. You know, a sign is so significant. When I landed in Seattle, got a rental car and drove this way, there are a lot of signs. Man, I could have gone to Canada. Huh? I could have gone all kinds of places. But you know what? The signs that weren't to me, I ignored. 99% of the signs, I ignored. In fact, I didn't even see them, even though they were there, because the signs weren't to me. The signs I followed had to do with what was in my heart. You were in my heart, and so I was heading this way, so I followed the signs that brought me this way. You know, a sign can be very comforting. A sign can give you a sense of peace. A sign can let you know where you are. A sign can let you know who you are. For example, when I land in Beirut, Lebanon, as soon as I land, I'm lost. I don't know north, south, east, west. The roads go every which way. There's not a common grid. It's chaos. The signs are in Arabic. You know what Arabic says to me? Nothing. It's confusing. So when I land, excuse me, they always have a staff person with me. You know what the staff person does? Interpret signs. You know what that does for me? Gives me peace. See, if you don't understand the sign that's to you, you won't understand the Father who gave you the sign. It's very important that you have somebody interpret the sign, because the sign in and of itself, interpreted incorrectly, just confuses you. And so it's important that you don't know that the sign and the sign's to you. I know when my youngest son, Josh, was in elementary school and high school, he had a very good friend, still has a good friend. And this young man's mother was deaf. She's very brilliant. And but when we would be together as families, she could read lips perfectly. She could speak perfectly. But when she wanted to say something to her kids, it was in signs. I thought the signs are cool, but you know what the signs meant to me? Nothing. The sign means nothing unless it's interpreted. So the Father sends a sign that has to be understood. Because the way you understand the sign will depend on how you share the message. And if you don't share the message with the intent of the Father's heart, you'll disturb people more with the message than help people embrace what the Father wants to do. So look at it says, the sign is to you. The sign is to you. The sign is to you. You will find the baby. Oh, the baby's a sign. But it's not the whole sign. The baby's the sign, but it's not the whole sign. The baby is so innocent. The baby's so beautiful. I love babies. Babies always interrupt my life. If I go out in the lobby after the service and see a baby, I'll stop. Hey, yeah, I'll talk baby talk. I mean, I'll go, you know, I'm just, babies do something to me. God uses something to grip our hearts about himself with a baby. But notice the baby is wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. So the baby is not the full sign. It's the baby that's wrapped and lying. You know, the reason the baby was wrapped in swaddling clothes is to give you a perfect picture of why the baby was born. The baby was born to die. This is whom the Father had sent on purpose to die, to pre-approve everyone everywhere with a radical love of the Father. And so the baby that the sign or the post wanted the shepherds to be drawn to see was the baby wrapped. The wrapping of the baby shows that the baby was born to die. You know, when Jesus died, it says this in Mark's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 43 through verse 46. You can check me up, but it says, when Jesus died, there was a rich dude named Joseph of Arimathea. What did he do? He came and he requested the body of Jesus and he wrapped him in linen. And then what did he do? He put him in a tomb cut out of a rock and he rolled a stone in front of it. So the sign the Father wanted the world to see was the life of God crucified for the human race to pre-approve a new operating arrangement, the family arrangement of children of God. And so the baby was wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in the manger. This manger in those days were cut out of a stone. You know, when I was a kid raising farm animals, I made my own troughs out of wood in 4-H. But in those days, they had troughs that were cut out of stone. So the baby was wrapped, lying in a stone. It's a picture of the life and the death of Jesus. The sign is the life of the Lamb and the death of the Lamb. And if you don't understand the life and the death, you don't understand the good news of what Jesus has done. That's why, even as we come into the Christmas season, a lot of precious people celebrate Christmas, but they've never been transformed by the spirit of Christmas. They don't understand the sign. So the life of Jesus shows us who the Father is. See, Jesus is the perfect picture of the Father. Jesus gives you clarity of who God is. Jesus said, no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom he reveals him to. So Jesus is the perfect picture of the Father. So in Jesus' life, he shows you that God will meet your need. He'll care for you. He'll feed you. He'll guide you. He'll provide for you. He'll help pay your taxes. He'll do miracles. He'll raise the dead. Jesus shows you who your Father is in his life, but Jesus in his death shows you not just that God is good to you, but that you are good to God. And this is the beauty of the gospel, that I am good to God, not based on me. I'm good to God based on the work of another, the Lamb of God. So the sign was given, the heavenly post. And what does the post, what should the post do? It should draw you. You know, if I was driving down Highway 5 here, and let's say I'm going to you know, Seattle or something, and I suddenly see a billboard, a sign for a ice cream sundae, and it gets my attention. That sign at certain moments of my day may have enough power to draw me to that exit to find that ice cream sundae. I just like ice cream. Or it might be a cup of coffee or whatever kind of thing. In other words, the sign has to influence you to draw you to it, to have an impact. So look at the Bible says in Luke 2 verse 15. We looked at 2 verse 12. Look at 2 verse 15. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said one to another, let us now go to Bethlehem, the house of bread, and see the sign that's come to pass, which the Lord made known unto us. See, if the sign of the Lamb of God doesn't move you, you're not really understanding the sign. Because the sign of the love of the Lamb is astonishing. Look at it says in the verse 17. It says, now when they had seen the sign, or when they had seen Jesus, they made widely known the saying that was told them concerning the child. In other words, they not only liked it, they shared it. See, people who don't share of their position before the Father in the love of the Lamb don't understand it, because it's so absolutely astonishing. It makes you go public in a way that's comfortable to you. You don't have to be a raging person with religious ideology to go public. You can share it within the framework of who you are. It's the beauty of believing. Look in the verse 18. And all those that heard it marveled. Everybody say marveled. They marveled. All those that heard it marveled. All those that heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Now think about it. The shepherds weren't trained in Bible school. The shepherds most probably weren't always faithful in church. The shepherds probably weren't your perfect moral characters. But the shepherds were astonished at the sign that heaven posted that they liked and then that they shared. Notice when the shepherds shared, they just shared the sign. When the shepherds proclaimed, or when they preached, they didn't preach about them, the people. They preached about Him, the Lamb. See, what makes people marvel at the gospel is not when you preach about them. That makes people depressed. Huh? I mean, if you don't believe it, just go home and look in the mirror and tell yourself the truth about you. According to your flesh. Huh? It'll absolutely make you despair. The beauty of preaching the Lamb in the love of the Lamb is it fills your heart with wonder. Like, can it be? Can the love of God in Christ be this rich and this real? He shared about Him, and all those that heard of it marveled. This is my personal desire. I had a birthday a couple of months ago. I turned 59. And I think, oh my goodness, I know I only look about 45, but my eyes haven't been very good either. But anyway, you know, I think to myself, oh my goodness, next year it's 60. And I think, you know, my new little, it's the wrong word, but you all understand what my ambition in the ministry. My ambition is to preach the gospel in a way that people marvel. I believe if you don't marvel at the gospel, you've never heard it. I believe the love of God in Christ is that absolutely overwhelmingly beautiful and astonishing. That God would accept a rascal like me amazes me. It amazes me. And so, wherever I am, even Tacoma, I want to preach the gospel to you where you scratch your head and say, can it be? I want to preach the gospel in such a way where you say, Pastor Jan, can it be? Can it be? Can it be God in Christ is enough? Can it be that my standing before the Father is not me? That my standing before the Father is Him. Is it true that faith is the great delivering power? And God even gives me the faith to believe. Yeah. To like it. I like it. I like it. You know what I do throughout my day is have believing moments. Where I imagine the sign of the heavenly post, the life of Jesus and the death of Jesus. And I just say, I like it. I believe it. I want to share it. You know, that's why when I preach in the Middle East, when I go to these precious, big, wonderful Muslim brothers and sisters, and I'm talking with them even outside on the streets, I always say the good news about the Creator, the Father, Allah, that's the word God in Arabic. I say the good news is He's got nothing on you. You don't have to qualify to be in His family. You've been pre-approved. They look at you like... Suddenly there's an astonishment. Can it be? Is God's love in Christ that secure? It's something so beautiful. So all those that heard it marveled. Jesus is the sign of redeeming love. He was the only child in all of humanity born to die. And once you realize this, you realize just how much God loves you. And He loves you completely. Once you realize that He gave up His Son for that one purpose, so that His Son willingly came for that one purpose, to die for your sins and mine, and to impart unto us a gift called righteousness. So Jesus in His life shows us that God is good to us. Jesus in His death shows us that you are good to God. You know, there's a verse in Scripture. I think it's in Romans 3. I don't think I have it on the screen, but it talks about that Jesus was given up for our, you know, transgressions. And He was raised up for our justification. I think that is like the slogan or the phrase that defines the sign. Jesus in His life was given up for our sins or transgressions. And He was raised up for our justification. Then the next phrase says, therefore. Being justified by faith, just because you like it, just because you believe it, you have peace with God. See, my only peace with God today has nothing to do with me. My peace with God today has everything to do with Jesus, the Lamb of God. I have peace with God because of what He has done. If you believe that's good news, give the Lord a shout, somebody. Amen. Hallelujah. Notice when the disciples... or the shepherds shared the love, it wasn't awkward, it wasn't clumsy, it wasn't religious, it wasn't fake, but it was real. It was authentic. It was joyous. I remember in the old days, man, I had to work myself up to go out witnessing. You know what I mean? I mean, I'd pray myself up, I'd fill myself up. And you know, I filled myself up with an attitude of trying to debate people into faith. These days, man, I share the gospel not about them of qualifying. I share about Him of the one who pre-approved them. And it's a beautiful way to share the gospel because you don't worry about rejection. You don't worry about if people get it or don't get it. What you do is you just surprise them with the beauty of what Jesus has included them in if they can just come to the place to accept their acceptance. Here's some reflections about what I think the shepherds went through in terms of a process to come to the place to not only like what was posted, but to share what was posted. You know, I have a Facebook page, a personal page, but the personal page is always filled with, you know, I can't add more people to it. It's full. So I have a fan page, is that what they call it? And on the fan page, it's a Keith Hershey fan page. And when I do post, I usually post every day. I did not post this morning or yesterday, but I usually post something every day. And it's always on the love of the Father. That's how I start my day. I just meditate on a scripture, post something on the love of the Father. And it's amazing to me sometimes how many people will like it and how many people share it. I think it's important that we fill our hearts, we fill our minds with a framework of thinking that has us focused on Him in terms of our identification instead of us as our sufficiency. And it's important that we understand it from the context of what heaven has posted. So I think when the shepherds got so equipped, think about it. How could you be a shepherd in the field? You know, that's I don't know if that's a high paying job back then or not. Probably not. Probably the educational level wasn't real high for a shepherd in the field. Maybe they were illiterate. Who knows? But how do you go from the equipping of seeing the sign and sharing? They didn't have to go through some discipleship program for 14 years. They didn't have to be in anything to validate them among men. They shared the astonishment of the love of the Father. And when they shared it, everyone who heard them was astonished. So I think the shepherds went through a process when they digested the living word. You have to digest the living word. The Lamb, the living word. The word that's flesh. That's the truth of the Father's view of you and who your Father is toward you. And what I think happened is they experienced, the first thing, they experienced astounding grace. Or they experienced astounding love. In other words, the new system makes no sense to the flesh. Grace makes no sense to people who want to save themselves. Grace makes no sense to people who want to qualify for what God gives them. Grace is strictly unmerited. And this is why our flesh resists it so much, because we want to have a little bit of our own skin in the game. We want to be patted on the back about how wonderful we are, or what we did, or how obedient we were, or whatever. That's just our flesh having a craving to comfort our flesh that we're okay before the Father. But you know, I've learned in my little life in recent years, I have no confidence in my flesh. None. None. Jesus is my everything. And He's enough. It's Jesus plus nothing. It's okay with me. Hallelujah. They experienced astounding grace, or astounding love. You know, astound means to be overwhelmed with amazement. When's the last time you've been amazed at the gospel? Do you wake up ever just being amazed? You ever just lay out, you know, on a hammock or something and look at the stars at night and just be amazed? Say, my goodness, Father, I don't understand a bit of this, but you love me. You care for me. Are you astounded with the love of the Father? Are you astounded with the grace of God? It means to be overwhelmed with amazement. It means to be astonished. It means to be in shock or wonder or surprised. The thing that I try to do every day is just take time to be astounded or astonished. Every day, the way I prepare to preach, astounded with the gospel. This is the way I prepare my heart, even in prayer, is to be astounded with the gospel. It's beautiful. Second thing they did, they experienced abounding grace or abounding love. In other words, once you're astounded with something, you abound in it. You grow in it. It's not like just a little dab will do you. In other words, you got to get loaded with the stuff. You got to drink daily. And you know, the best way you're ever confronted with the gospel is to take communion. Because the truth of the elements, the cup of blessings and the body of the Lord Jesus Christ did it all. So eat, drink, and be merry. Tell yourself the truth of the gospel and of the gift of righteousness you have. You have to abound in it. To abound means to occur or exist in great quantities. It means to be rich or well supplied. It means to be filled or to the brim or overflowing. That's why I love this verse, and I know I share it a lot, but I love it. Romans 5, verse 17. The Bible says, for if by one man's offense, that's Adam, death reigned through the one. What a bummer, huh? Much more those who receive an abundance of grace, just the unmerited favor of the Father, based on the sign. Those who just believe it and like it and receive it, those who receive it and understand that the righteousness is strictly a gift. Amen. That righteousness is imputed to you. You're going to reign in life. You know, the only reason I can say I reign in life, the only reason, has nothing to do with me. Has everything to do with the sign. All I do every day is just try to look to the sign. And you know, I wish I could tell you that Keith Hershey is always wonderful. But Keith Hershey, you know, is still wrapped in human flesh. So Keith Hershey, unfortunately, still has grumpy days. It's a bummer. And I'm glad Heidi's not here to testify about it. But the beautiful thing is, sometimes I say things that, just this week, you know, with this contract about this lease, it ticked me off and I get the guy on the phone and I'm, you know, I wasn't Mr. Polite. You know, because it's all some small print they got somewhere or something. You know what I mean? So I was frustrated. So what I ended up doing before I flew up here is signed a new contract for a new whatever, you know, whatever. But the thing is, in my flesh, I realize I'm frail. Man, where I work around the world, I get frustrated. Things don't always go right for me. And so I have to work and process things and work with people and do all these things. But the beautiful thing is, in the midst of even all my pain, I look to the sign. Because the sign is the truth about me. And I receive the gift called righteousness, even if I was a little bit naughty. Even if I said something I shouldn't have said or whatever, you know. Even if I was Mr. Grumpy, I still believe my righteousness is of the Lamb. I like that. Amen. That makes me marvel. That makes me marvel. The gift of righteousness and the abundance of grace. You reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Then the third thing I think happened to the shepherds after they were astounded and then they abounded. The third and final thing, they experienced a resounding grace. They resounded with grace. In other words, it echoed from them. You know, what really rattles your cage and stirs your spirit bubbles out. Listen, I know your pastor is a Seahawks fan because it bubbles out of him. You can know when people are in love with somebody, it bubbles out of them. Huh? What captures your heart bubbles out of you. You have to have a resounding faith. That's a sharing faith. That's what resound means. It means to utter loudly, to be, you know, impressively thorough or complete in its expression. You have to have a resounding love and a resounding grace. And when you do, friend, I tell you, something happens. And what happens is you don't share the gospel to make people qualify. You share the gospel telling them they've been pre-approved. It's a different way to share the gospel. I may have told you the story, but let me tell you again. Like I told you, for many years, 30-some-five years ago, almost 40 years ago, when I got into ministry, I preached more about them, unknowingly, than about him. In other words, I would always tell people what was wrong with them, what they had to do to be right. In other words, it was all up to them, except instead of just looking to him and accepting the rightness of him that you step into, and through the process of living in Christ, having a transformation. And so I through the years, you know, God's taught me and helped me. And now, you know, people say, well, Keith, now you're just really hyper love, or you're hyper grace, or you're hyper faith. And I say, I'm hyper Jesus. I'm hyper the Lamb of God, because in Jesus Christ, you find the faith of God. In Jesus Christ, you find the grace of God. And in Jesus Christ, you find the love of God. And the beautiful thing is to come to a place where you can announce the news where people are astonished. I was at a public event some time ago, and it was outside, and there was all these people preaching at everybody, hundreds of people that were gathered, and It was always what was wrong with the people. Nothing was the glory of the Lamb. It was always what was wrong. And they'd list all the sins of the flesh, you know. So in that whole crowd, I was with three other people that I knew. And I was thinking to myself, it doesn't look like anybody here is astonished about anything. In fact, there's nobody listening to what's being blasted, what's being posted, what's being broadcast, because there's no astonishment of the sign. I think we have to come to a place in life to figure out with our loved ones, with our family members, with our world at large, with our culture, how do we share the gospel about the sign? How do we interpret the heavenly post and be as sharp as the shepherd and convey it in a way where people are absolutely marveled by the beauty and believe and are persuaded of God's love and acceptance for them? This is the beauty to me of the gospel. This is why I believe we live in great times. And this is why I believe God's going to continue to use you and your church to share the love throughout this region and around the world. Well, it's 12 o'clock. Did you all enjoy the word today? Give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Amen. Put your hands on your heart. Father, these are your precious ones. Let their hearts be happy. Let them not be afraid. Father, I pray for the people here who've been inspecting themselves and thinking of themselves as losers, or they did this wrong or that wrong, and they feel overwhelmed. Father, let them know that the blood of the Lamb is ever covering and ever cleansing and ever working. And Father, help us just to like what you've done. Help us to believe what you've done. Help us to look to the sign of the finished work of Jesus, the life of the Lamb and the death of the Lamb, and say yes to it. Friend, today, if you'd like to, just in this quiet moment, just have a renewed faith in Jesus. Just quietly in your heart say, Jesus, I put my trust in you. I believe in your life. I believe in your death. I believe in your risenness. Jesus, you're Lord of my life. Father, I thank you that you do a perfect work in our hearts. Let us not be troubled. Let us find the thrill of the gospel. Help us to like the gospel. Help us to share the gospel. Thank you for Pastor Jan, Pastor John, all the team here, Father. Thank you for, by his word, what you're doing in every family. We thank you for great grace and great love expressed through the saints of this faith community. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. As your pastor comes, let me say, excuse me, in the back, I'll be there. I'm going to have another cup of coffee, I think. I'm there to hug babies. Hallelujah. And, I brought a couple little things. One is a little teaching series. It's three CDs called Share the Love. If you want it, it's a three CD series. It's $10, normally $20. If you don't have 10 bucks, it's on the house. And then there's a little book there for $2. It will astonish you with the love of the Father. It's a little pocket book. If you don't have $2, it's on the house. But use it as a gift. Put it as a stocking stuffer. But get people excited about the love of the Lamb of God. Praise the Lord. God bless you all.
Thank you, Keith. Praise the Lord. Everybody, I guess I better not do that. Go ahead and come forward, and we'll go ahead and take up an offering for Keith. Praise God. Again, if you'd like an envelope to mark on there for Keith, just get your hands up, and the ushers will give them to you. Praise the Lord. But everybody ready? Okay, let's go ahead. Dear Heavenly Father, we're about to receive an offering for our brother Keith. And I thank you that you've sent him our way and always how he delivers a good word to us. And Father, I pray that this money that we invest in him will bear much fruit for his life in the future, in Jesus' name. Amen. While they're doing that, go ahead. While they're doing that, I want to remind you again, we're going to have service tonight at 6. Is it 6:30? And so be here, please. And I enjoy Keith's message because how important it is for our faith to grow. And I always appreciate someone who can deliver us the Word of God that has a meaning for us. I always get a lot out of your teaching. Even this morning, Keith, I just got a lot out of it. It really confirmed things. But my faith is predicated on what I hear. I used to think it was on what God said, but I found out that my faith grows on what I hear. And what I mean by that is you'll find that in the New Testament, you won't find the word that that the Logos causes men to grow in faith, because that's what God said. But it's the Rhema, the preaching of men, that grows men's faith. And that's basically what you were saying, that sign that was given them. And they herald the truth. That's why Mark 4 is so important to understand, that your faith grows by what you hear, not by what God said, but by how men interpret what God said. And a lot of people don't get the revelation of that. When I got it one day, I said, my gosh, he never admits that faith grows by the Logos. But the Logos actually is what God said, but it's by the men's preaching, Rhema, that causes faith to grow by the Logos. And so a lot of men can always interpret God the way they want to. They can carve their own image of him. But really what happens is the Holy Spirit has to work in the heart of men so that the Rhema of men is what causes men to grow in their faith. And Keith was sharing with me a little bit about, it amazes me how faith is so broad in its perspective. And I said, well, Keith, that's because faith grows by what somebody says. And that's why it's important that we interpret God properly. That's why it says that your faith grows by a rhema that is put alongside the Logos, what God said. So really, our faith grows by how some person preached to us and interpreted what God said in our life. That's very important, very important. Otherwise, if you think that your faith grows by the Logos, then that Bible right there in your lap should be sufficient for your faith, and I guarantee you it's not. You have to have somebody come and interpret what is in your lap. That's why there's so many varied faiths out there, because that can work in the negative. I could have grown up under a Muslim religion, and my faith could have grown by the rhema that I hear from these men, and it would have sent me straight to hell. So hearing is very important. So when men like Keith come and preach, I listen to everything he says, because it has a value, a meaning to my life. Amen. Stand up, everybody. Now, are you eligible to pray for people? Or is that bodily function of yours right now going to hinder you? No, you're good. Okay. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word today, and we thank you for the sign that you have given us. We thank you for Jesus. Oh, we thank you for Jesus, because he interpreted the Father. He came and he rhema'd the Father to us. And so today, Father, as we now bow our heads, if there be anybody in here who can truthfully say, I've never made Jesus the Lord of my life, and I would like to. I would like to receive that sign that was given them shepherds, as Jesus would be my reconciliator. That's how I could be saved, so that I can grow into salvation. And so if you're here today and you've never said the sinner's prayer, We want to give you the opportunity to do that wholeheartedly. And if you're here as a believer and you've been out of fellowship with Him, you haven't been using the Holy Spirit actively on a daily basis, you haven't been filled with the Spirit. I'm not talking about having a zeal for God. I'm talking about having a zeal for God according to knowledge. And if you know within yourself that you haven't been fellowshipping with Him like you should have been, you can just step right, you can instantly step right back into fellowship with Him and continue on in the direction that God intends for you to go. Which is so important. So important. And if you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you're missing the well of salvation. No, you're missing the rivers of living water flowing out of your innermost being. So if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and how you know that you're baptized in Him is through that language that comes flowing out of your heart, and you would like to receive the baptism, when I give the altar call, feel free to come up. So if I've touched on any one of your, if you need physical healing in your body, it's been provided. It has been given to the church, and you need a healing in your body, then you come forward and we can pray with you. So if any one of those areas fit you, step out right now and come forward. Hallelujah. Please do it. Hallelujah. You know, it's the whole purpose of the message. Amen. And if you're sitting there and you're fighting with yourself, I'll tell you what, figure it out later and just come forward now. Hallelujah. So important. So important. But after all, that's what ministry is all about, is those of you that come forward. You know, when I was growing up in the ministry, there was a pride that I always had to fight. God didn't want nobody to know I had need of anything. So I wouldn't go to the altar. One day God just yelled at my ear, "Go up there. That message was for you." And boy, I went up there. Thank God I did. I got more out of the message than I ever had. So if that message spoke to you today, respond to this altar. Hallelujah. Don't hesitate. Don't wait until tomorrow. Praise God. So if you're here today and you feel that you need to be up here, come up here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Over here, sweetheart. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Anyone else? It's important. This is important to God. Amen, Keith? This is important. This is what the gospel's about. I used to play games with God, get cold in the Lord. Thank God for my wife. And I'd get out of fellowship with God, and she'd stay in fellowship solid. And it was her witness that told me I had to get right one day, and I went forward and got my heart right with God. Best thing I ever did. I didn't care what people thought. I just cared what God thought. That was more for me than anything else. How important that is. Amen. Hallelujah. Pray with me. And then we'll have the altar workers come up here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Keith, you want to come up here and pray with them? Dear Heavenly Father, before we dismiss the people, Father, we want to pray over them that they have a safe trip home. They have a safe afternoon and they have a safe trip back. Father, we know that you watch over your people. Hallelujah. And just before turning it over to the Lord, try to make it to pre-service prayer. If you can. It's starting to grow. There's a lot of on fire people in our church right now. And I can't hardly wait to be in that room up there at Speakman Hall before service. That's what sets the tone for this service. With that said, Father, may they have a safe trip home. You're dismissed. And those that have come up here, we want to pray with you. The rest of you, you're dismissed.